We are joined on the phone by Clarence Lussain, Emeritus Professor of Political Science and International Relations at American University. Dr. Lussain is the author of several books, including Hitler's Black Victims and the Black History of the White House. Good afternoon, Clarence.
Good afternoon. Actually, I'm at Howard University now.
Oh, okay. Well,
thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. Clarence, I want to jump into something we haven't been talking about much today, and you are located in D.C., correct?
Right.
So this is sort of the heart and soul of where this is all happening. What's the tone and tenor of the streets of D.C. as this impeachment process is playing out?
Well, you know, it's been a rough period since Donald Trump came in, particularly coming after President Obama. So when Obama lived in Washington at the White House, he would be in the city. He would show up at bookstores, show up at restaurants. I remember about a week after he became president, I was at the Kennedy Center and the Obama showed up. So there was a very different kind of atmosphere during that period. And since Trump has been in, you know, there's a complete alienation from that White House. But in terms of the impeachment, it's the talk of the town, of course. So you get into an Uber, you go to the cleaners, you go to a restaurant. You know, that's the discussion that people are having. And it's pretty universal, at least here in Washington, D.C., that the president absolutely committed abuses and crimes and should be impeached.
It's interesting because about an hour ago we heard Eleanor Holmes Norton, who is the delegate from D.C., not an official congressional member, not a voting member anyways, because D.C. is
right.
Not a state. She took to the floor and she in some ways gave a very similar statement that she did during the 1998 impeachment of Bill Clinton, bringing up the point that she's representing some 700,000 individuals that, because of the political standing in D.C., have no say in whether or not to impeach the president.
We must protect our Constitution. Right. And the other thing that gets underplayed is that the Senate is far from a Democratic body. It represents the members represent a disproportionate distribution of the country. So you have small states or small population states that have as much representation as states like where you guys are in California. And that has to be rectified because it screws the way in which you really get representation around these kinds of issues.
Clarence Lussain, we've been covering these hearings live for the last 9 weeks now and had a myriad of guests on, and you and Jeffrey Sterling are the only two African-American folks that we've gotten on the show. And as I'm in my community, I'm not hearing a lot of us talking about this. And so I just wanted your thoughts in terms of how this is resonating. Clearly, we are not a monolith of people, but just generally how this process is resonating throughout the politically engaged black demographic.
I look forward to doing that. Well, I think it's a discussion. It certainly has come up as there's been discussions about the race for the presidency. And you look at Kamala Harris, you look at Cory Booker, they have not shied away from that issue. But even when you look at Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, and they talk about the issue of racial justice, they link it to the current situation that we're in. So I think it has a certain kind of resonancy. I may be a little bit of an outlier because this is sort of my job. So when I'm talking to people, I raise the issue. But I don't see people necessarily shying away from it. And, you know, and the polls are very clear that the black community really feels antagonistic towards this president, giving his policies, his statements, and just what he's done, both before becoming president and as president. And I think people have paid attention to, and the Democrats, I think, need to continue the arguments of why this president has broken all boundaries and that he has risen to the level of impeachable offenses.
As a political scientist, Clarence Lussain, how do you see this moment with this impeachment? What do you think the impeachment represents, and what are you looking for, and what will you be looking for after this moment?
My friend from Oklahoma, Mr. Hearn. Well, I'm glad you raised that because I have a couple of perspectives. There's the activist perspective and democratic justice perspective in me that says, you know, we should go after this guy for the violations. But there's the professor perspective as well, that this is a teachable moment to raise issues about exactly how democratic are we in this country. So as I talked about with the Senate being basically an undemocratic institution, the same with the Electoral College. And so these kinds of moments, I think, you take advantage of. So the letter that Donald Trump wrote yesterday sent to Pelosi, which appropriately has been criticized from comedians to political observers, I also see it as a teachable moment. I will use that letter in the class I'm going to teach next semester on the American presidency, because it is a masterwork in obfuscation, misrepresentation, Trump's narcissism. All of the things that we find critical about this president are embodied in that letter. So I see it as a teachable instrument, not just a crazed rant from a deranged chief executive.
Wondering what you think about, so clearly we're fairly positive the House is going to impeach the president. We're also fairly positive that the Senate is not going to convict him. And I've been thinking a lot and wondering what your thoughts are about the ramifications in the global political sphere, where America touts itself as a leader and the greatest democracy on earth, but also at the local level, what this does to shake the faith of folks that are perhaps very invested in this system and believe that this is a democratic country.
Well, that is an excellent observation, because I think on the international level, and I, you know, read The Guardian, I read papers, you know, in Brazil, you know, I try to keep up with kind of global interpretation, and the editorials are pretty strong against the president. Many of them, many of the writers and editors at these newspapers follow very closely politics in the U.S. They read the Mueller report, for example. But they also have read the reports that have come from the Senate, the House Intelligence Committee, from the House Judiciary Committee. And from an objective, non-interested perspective, they have concluded that the president absolutely crossed the line. He absolutely intended to pressure President Zelensky. So globally, I think the wave, at least from the more critical voices, are trending absolutely against the president. And I think that fits into what has become sort of the president's way of operating, which is to cozy up to dictators and authoritarians and to poo-poo on what have been traditional U.S. allies, from Canada to France to, you know, across the board. So I think, you raise a really good point, because the rest of the world is also trying to figure out, will democracy work, or where is democracy at in the United States at this moment? I think here in this country, the impeachment inquiry, and now as we're moving towards the vote and then the trial in the Senate, is a civics lesson that people need. One of the things that I decry is that we have taken civics and political education out of our schools. So even with the students I get at the university level, I have to walk them very carefully through what impeachment is, what the Constitution is, some very basic kinds of knowledge. And so you can imagine at a lower level, at high school level, middle school level, students are not getting this. One of the things we're trying to do at Howard University through the political science department is to go into middle and high schools in the city and talk about politics and politics as a science. Not partisan, not pushing one agenda or another, but just basic civic kinds of information that students are simply not getting. We got it. I'm an older guy. When I went to school in the 60s and 70s, you know, we studied these things, but, you know, my son, his kids do not. So I teach my son on his own, but, you know, kids are not getting this information, so this really is a teachable moment.
Clarence Lussain, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.